I want to talk to you briefly this morning about loyalty to Jesus. Loyalty to Jesus in hard times. You know that we believe that we're entering into a new season. Scripturally, there's seasons. We know from Revelation that there are the letters to the churches, and we believe those also to be letters to the church ages. I personally believe we live in the Laodicean church age, and I believe that we're coming to the close of that. And I think we're entering the season of pre-tribulation. I personally believe that's true. We are very careful about dates and times. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, so let's not pick one. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. But it does say, don't be ignorant about the season. He even scolded the disciples and said, you can read the weather and you can read the sky, so you should be able to read the season. And we live in the season of the return of Christ, the time Matthew 24 speaks of, the birth pains. Then shall be sorrow, it says, birth pains. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. What do we know about birth pains? The closer you get to delivery, the more frequent and intense the pains become. And that's what we're experiencing in our world today. As we move toward the appearance of Christ, the delivery, the appearance of Christ in the sky. For the Lord himself shall ascend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And Don, the older I get, the more experienced the trials of life, the more comforting it is. I see it in your face. The more comforting it is to know that the Lord is coming back and going to set things aright. I've had a wonderful life. Hasn't been easy, but I've had a wonderful life. He didn't say it would be easy. He said it'd be worth it. He didn't say it'd be easy. He said it'd be worth it. I've had a wonderful life. But as I grow older and more in tune and more in touch with the Spirit and more aware of what's really going on behind the scenes, do you know as you walk with the Lord and develop in the Lord, He makes you keen to what's going on? And sometimes that can be painful. Recognition of what's going on can sometimes be a painful thing. Sometimes when you see it a little deeper, it hurts. When you were just looking on the surface, you weren't so troubled. So it's good to know that. I've had people say to me, boy, I'm walking closer to the Lord than I did before, but boy, I've got some things troubling me. Well, you're seeing things you didn't see before. Your eyes are open. You're illuminated as you walk in the Spirit. But we're in the season of the return of Christ, and this is like a broken record. For the last 3 months, I've been saying, I don't know what I'm going to say on Sunday. This has been a hard season to preach. I've been preaching for 40-some years, but this has been a hard season to preach. And I usually know what I'm to say as far as topic, but I don't know till I get up here exactly what all I'm going to say. That's another day like that today. But I felt early in the week God spoke to me, midweek actually, on loyalty to Jesus in hard times. Allie and Brian just beautifully sang the song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Verse 3 says, I will love thee in life. I will love thee in death and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. A near-death experience connects you with what your passions are, what's important to you. Been with lots of people when they've died, probably could write a book, not much of a book writer, but probably could write a book on death experiences. I've been with lots and lots and lots of people when they've died. I've had some interesting things that I've observed. Never, ever have I sat with someone at their deathbed and had them say, boy, I wish I'd have got my house paid off quicker. Boy, I wish I'd have got that new Dodge Ram I wanted. Never had anybody mention material things, but it's interesting that at the point of death, the two greatest commandments surface. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody on their deathbed says the same thing. I wish I'd have walked with God better. I wish I'd have come to God sooner. Wish I'd have spent more time with my kids. Isn't it interesting that no matter what our background is at the point of death, when we really face meeting the Lord and come to the end, we're concerned about relationship because that's really what matters. Our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. And a near-death experience kind of helps realign all of that. Loyalty to Jesus. These are days we need to be incredibly loyal to Jesus. We may face some hard times, but loyalty to Jesus. I'm going to read from John. I've got some references up here. John chapter 21, where before Jesus went back to the Father, he began asking Peter about his loyalty. And of course, this is Palm Sunday, and I've been kind of thinking along the lines of Easter and the things that led up to that. And of course, this is after the resurrection. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 18, I'd like to read. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again he said a second time, "Simon, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because he asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Bible history tells us, and there's some conflict of opinions on the details of this. Pastor Bishop, actually, that mentored me, that's now with the Lord, had shared this story with me originally. But Bible history tells us that toward the end of Peter's life, they were going to kill Peter. And I remember Pastor Bishop telling me the story, and I don't know in his research where all he had come across these details, but it's never left me. Peter had been an impulsive guy all of his life, and of course, he became an incredibly spirit-filled, godly apostle. In the book of Acts, we read so much about Peter and what God, the transformation in Peter. But Bible history, the account isn't in the scripture. But in Bible history, we're told, one historian says, that Peter actually had run and tried to get away when they were going to kill him for his faith. And I don't know who it was, but someone of Peter's surroundings, someone among the group that had been with him, looked at him and said, "Remember Jesus." And Peter went back and agreed to be crucified, which is what they were wanting to do to him. But he insisted on being crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified like the Lord. Wow. In a moment of haste, you can react in a wrong way. In the moment of haste, the flesh can kick in and you can respond in a wrong way. Just a sidelight here, correct that. Bible history tells us that he was fleeing the thought of being crucified. Oh my. And someone said, "Remember Jesus." And he went back and not only submitted to being crucified, but asked to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified like the Lord. Peter, do you love me? Loyalty to Jesus. Where is your loyalty? Interesting that he didn't say, "Peter, Are you going to do everything perfect when I leave? I'm getting ready to go back to the Father. I'm getting ready to ascend back. Got to ask you a few questions. Do you remember the Sermon on the Mount, Peter? Do you remember Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which we now have in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that precious Sermon on the Mount? Do you remember those details? Do you remember all that stuff I told you? Do you remember that you're to turn the other cheek, and on it goes in the Sermon on the Mount? He didn't ask any of those questions. It boiled down to, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you remember our communion service there at the Last Supper? And when I'm gone, you're going to have to kind of head things up. Or do you remember the details of how to do that? No, he didn't ask that. And it boils down to, where is your love and loyalty? I think we need to assess that this morning. We take the dipstick out of the engine and we pull it out, and that dipstick might be this long, like it is in my truck, but way down in the bottom of that engine, we find out what's going on, and you pull it up, and if that oil's clean and full, we know. But if we find fibers in that oil, sometimes it's good. The Bible says, and especially at communion time in Corinthians, it says, let a man examine himself. As we enter hard times, as we face some times we never expected to face in this country, it's coming. It's good to pull that dipstick out and weigh down in the heart of the matter, way down in the workings of our inner self, where is our love and loyalty to the Lord? You're going to make mistakes. They might pop up and say, we're going to kill you and kill you right now, and you might turn and run at first. Remember Jesus. But at the end of the day, not how do you react in every situation. We're going to have our pitfalls. It says in Psalms 103, that precious chapter that has so many incredible verses, it says in there that he remembereth that we are dust. We're going to, on impulse at times, make mistakes. We're going to have to back up. We're going to have to correct things. But at the end of the day, Peter, do you love me? Peter had some disloyalties. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 34, Jesus had said, I tell you the truth, this very night, prior to crucifixion, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And then over in verse 69, now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, and there another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. And after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on them. And he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The man who would seem the most disqualified. And this is for somebody this morning. The man who would seem so disqualified. God is constantly in every scenario, every story, every parable shouting mercy. Can you see it in the scripture? Peter had gone to the Mount of Transfiguration. He'd been picked. Imagine if you were in the group of 12. And not knowing what was coming, Jesus turned to you and said, Peter, James, John, come with me. And they went up the mountain, and we know this troubled some of them, for in the next chapter we read where they had an argument about who was the greatest. And the three went up on the mountain, and Jesus was transformed before them and appeared with Moses and Elijah. What an awesome experience. Peter is the one who had stepped over the side of the boat when Jesus was walking on the water and said, "Come to me on the water." A man of incredible experience, but in a moment of weakness, he denied he knew the Lord three times. And it's interesting that Jesus asked him then before he went to the Father three times after the resurrection. Peter had gone out and wept bitterly after the denial. God wants repentance. That weeping bitterly is key. He calls us to true repentance. But when you come to true repentance, God restores you in an incredible way. And he asked Peter then, "Do you love me?" Where is your loyalty? Where is your love in regard to the Lord? An odd chapter it would seem to turn to would be the book of Job. But there's a test of love in the story of Job. It's the same principle. Job chapter 1, verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with them. I have written in my margin, sometimes the devil shows up at church. It says the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Do you know that's who you're dealing with? Little parentheses here. The devil's the prince in the power of the air. Do you know when you go into the factory, that's who you're struggling with as a Christian? We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, Ephesians chapter 6. Here, the angels of God come to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan comes with them. And when God says, "Where have you been?" he says, "I've been roaming through the earth, going back and forth." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is no one on earth like him? He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Satan says, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the works of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch your hand out and strike everything he has, and he'll curse you to your face." I want to stop there. This is the same test that we've been talking about with Peter. I remember my daddy preaching on this years ago. I visualize him standing here. Satan was saying, "Job has other motive for serving you. You give him everything. He's rich. He's blessed. You give him everything. You take that away. You let him have some hard times, and he'll curse you to your face." Daddy used to lean over the pulpit and say, "Do you have pure love and loyalty to the Lord?" Just love alone and loyalty, regardless of circumstances. Or does he have to give you everything you want? Oh, anybody can say, "God is great, let's stand and sing, our God's an awesome God," when their tax check was twice what they thought it would be, and blessings are pouring in and things are going well. We are entering a season, my friends, when there's going to be some hard times. Where is your loyalty? The story of Job is the test of true love. Satan's indictment was, he doesn't really love you. You give him everything. So what if the blessing's taken away? What if circumstances cause my blessing to go away? Will I stick with the Lord and stick with my loyalty? Peter, do you love me? Peter proved in the end, if that historian's account is correct, that Pastor Bishop told me years ago, Peter proved that the real reason was love. When he was running and they said, remember Jesus, he went back and allowed himself to be martyred, only crucified upside down, feeling unworthy to be crucified in the way the Lord was. Wow. What an end to a story of a man that had lots of ups and downs and difficulties. At the end, he shouted, I do love you, Lord. And he died for his Lord. Wow. We're not ready for that. But Job is tested. And Satan's smart enough to know that the love for God is the true passion. And he thinks Job had it. He said, yeah, he's serving you. Does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you put a hedge around his household and everything? You're watching over him, protecting him, looking out for him all the time. Of course he's sticking by you. Verse 12, this is a little scary. It's in the Bible. The Lord said to Satan, very well then. All right. It's a little scary. Ooh. So let's put Tom on the carpet here. Suppose the devil shows up. He's roaming around. He says to God, well, yeah, you always blessing Tom. You prospered him. You've done this. You've done this, this, this. Let me put a little pressure on him. Let's see if the passion's really there. Pretty heavy message in a sense, because it's checking that oil way down deep in the workings of the engine. What is motivating you? Because the test is going to bring it out anyway. You with me? You with me? The test, the tribulation hour is going to expose it anyway. So we might as well get on with it. And the people who are truly serving God out of love alone and a loyalty because of love are going to see it through. But if you haven't got a strong, overwhelming, deep, passionate love for Jesus developing in your heart, you're not going to weather it out when times get tough. Boy, this is a little bit strong to say, but I've seen a lot of people jump up and down, do calisthenics and praise God in my life, and I'm not making light of that. Lift your hands and praise the Lord, the Scripture says, and we all do it through our personality in different ways. So please don't misunderstand that if you're visiting this morning. But I'm going to tell you what, when the pressure's on, you find out what the passion is. When the pressure's on, and unfortunately, I've seen times when the tabs are screwed down and the pressure's on, performance wasn't very good. That's why. Do you remember when I was anointed 10 years ago? My first request was not that God would touch my cancer. That was not my first request. If you were in that group, and there were 30 or 40 from our ministry that were there at that time and anointed me, they said, what do you want prayed? I said, first, I want God to don't let me drop the ball. Don't let me drop the ball. I believe I love the Lord. I believe my walks with Him by the river have been the best times of my life. If I know my own heart, I live, but I don't want to drop the ball. And we're nearing some difficult times. And this issue this morning is a big issue. Where is your love and loyalty? The Lord said to Satan, very well then. Scary. Everything he has is in your hands. Isn't it awesome that God would have that much confidence in a little tiny human being? That stirs me that God would have that kind of confidence in Job to say to Satan, he knew who Satan was. He had cast him from heaven. Lucifer and a third of the angels were cast from heaven. And Jesus said, I saw Satan as fire fall from heaven. Oh, he's under God. And he's going to end up in the judgment of God. And hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. But he's no insignificant creature here. And for God to trust a man, I want to be trustworthy. I want to be trustworthy. I want you to trust me. I want your family to trust me. But more than anything else, I want God to trust me. And when Satan comes along and says, yeah, he's got ulterior motives. No, he doesn't. Go ahead. Tighten down the tabs a little bit. That's scary stuff. Everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Isn't that cool? All right, we can worry about Satan, the boogeyman, you know. There's a lot of people get all caught up in that. He ain't going to get any farther than God tells him he can. He ain't going to get any farther than God tells him he can. I like the verse in Psalms that says, the angel of the Lord will drive away our enemies. I've been sharing with the guys in the mentoring group, do you know as you grow in the Lord, you have some authority in that department? Angel of the Lord, drive away the enemies. I had a week a couple of years ago where I was extremely burdened for Jackson, Malachi, and Dylan. Riley wasn't born yet. How old's Dylan? We don't know. He's four. Yeah, it had been about 2 years ago. I had a week where in my prayer walk, I was just heavy in my heart. And I begin praying, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over those little boys. What is going on? I plead the blood of Jesus over those little boys. Angel of the Lord, drive away their enemies. Drive away their enemies. And I found out several weeks later through Kevin an incident that had happened when I figured out the times. It was the same time. You've got authority. You've got authority. Authority is a precious thing. Don't you flaunt it and get proud about it. That's how it gets ruined. Pastors get proud. They show off. For God to give you authority over the enemy is an awesomely powerful thing. Don't you be afraid to enlist the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and use your authority as a Christian. And as you grow, he'll impart more authority to you. And please don't be offended. But I need to be blunt with you about this. Because there's been some movements over the last 20, 30 years under the banner of Christianity that have gone south. It says that Jesus called in his disciples and gave them power and authority. That's dunamis and exousia. Everybody's interested in the power, power. Let's have a display of God. There's times when God does incredible things. There are times when God just parts the Red Sea and you're like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. He made a wall of water. But this season we're entering, can you follow me that there's seasons in Scripture? Go back to the Old Testament. This is theologically sound. There are seasons when different things are going on and God is working in different ways. In this era of time, we need authority more than anything because the enemy is taking over. Does that make sense? And I think there's a lot of people who are all caught up in dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. Let's have some show. Let's mess. And they need authority in the factory where they work because they're fighting principalities and powers. They need authority with their grandchildren because the undisciplined lawlessness is abounding in the enemy. There's a spirit involved in that to take over lawlessness. Humbly seek authority. And then when God imparts it to you, and you'll know it. When God imparts it to you, don't flaunt it. Don't become proud about it. Don't show off with it. I have found, and I say this very cautiously, but I need to use examples to clarify. I have found that there are those that, we're going to rebuke the devil. We're all going to go. We're going to make a big show, big fireworks out of it. I've had times when I whispered in a crowd. I sensed there was a spirit wrong at the altar. And that there was something wrong, only to find out someone visiting and what they were involved in. But I sensed at the altar, and under my breath, I've said, in the name of Jesus, I bind and rebuke you. Don't show off with it, but use it. You with me? This is a new season. Guys in the mentoring group, you're serious. You want to be called special forces. This is what you want. You want love for Jesus and authority from Him. And it'll push back the enemy from your family. It'll protect your children. And they won't be able to lay a finger on you. God said, you go ahead, you can test Him, but don't you lay one finger on Him past what I tell you. You got authority as a Christian. Does that make sense? Where is your love and loyalty to Jesus? My iPad just changed, but help. Stayed on the wall. I don't want it anymore. I don't like it. Thanks, Robbie. I don't like it anymore. Real quick, I want to read from Matthew 21, and I'll be winding down here. I talked too long week four last. Mercy sakes, I talked 50 minutes. I didn't realize it. Matthew 21. I just want us to look at, thank you. Matthew 21, 1 through 13. Thought I had this marked, but I didn't. Matthew 21, 1 through 13. This, of course, is the Palm Sunday, which today is Palm Sunday. And as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying, go to the village ahead of you, and you will find a donkey tied there. You know, we pass up some of these little details, but wouldn't that have been cool? You know, Jesus, he could just see what was going on. He said, just go in there, and there'll be a donkey standing there tied, and just get it. And, you know, and you're like, okay. Can you see those guys going in there? By George, there's a donkey standing there. How did he know that? There are just a lot of little things in the Bible that's not the parting of the Red Sea, but it'd just be cool. Like when he cursed that fig tree, you know, and said, you won't bring back any, not cursed in the sense of God's name in vain. Got to be careful. Cursed that fig tree and said, you'll not produce. And they went up and it was dried up, you know. And there's just so many things that you see. You listening? So many things you see hanging out with Jesus. It ain't all that different for you and I. Some of you are really seeking intimate time with God and you're improving your time alone with God. You start hanging out with Jesus, you start seeing stuff like this. It ain't just in the Bible. You start seeing stuff like this. You start seeing regular things happen. You're like, there's no way that was a coincidence. I see some of you grinning because you know what I'm talking about. But the more you walk with the Lord, the more He'll trust you with. That's why this intimate time with God is so important. That's why guarding it's so important and staying in reverence and keeping pride out. See, pride ruins it. But when you don't flaunt it, you're just grateful for it, and you have a humble spirit and you seek God, He'll start more and more showing you things that are unusual. And actually, the unusual become normal. May I say to you, I've been walking with the Lord for 42 years, and we certainly haven't been perfect, but we've tried to pedal a bicycle, and we've tried to apply the truth. I think we see something unusual about it every day. Just something unusual that you know that God did. Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there and her colt by her. Untie and bring them to me. If anyone says anything, just tell them the Lord. I probably shouldn't try that at Walmart, but just say the Lord needs him. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you gentle. Did you hear that? He comes to you gentle. There's a time he's going to come back king of kings and Lord of lords. But when he came here to earth, he came gentle. How are we in our Christ-likeness? How are we recognized in our workplace? That's an exit ramp. I can't pass that up. Your king's going to come gentle. How are you viewed? I want to be like Christ. Gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their coats in the road. Oh, wow, Palm Sunday, you're familiar with it. While others cut branches from the trees, that's why we call it Palm Sunday, and spread them on the ground. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? And the crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all those who were buying and selling there. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and said, It is written, My house will be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. Okay, that's Palm Sunday. But unfortunately, 1 week later, and I'm going to read the account from Luke 23. 1 week later, we read a change. What happened to the crowd? What happened to the crowd? On Palm Sunday, they're praising him. They're running before him and they're cutting limbs and branches and laying them in the way and making a path for him to come across as he's seated there on the donkey, and they're shouting Hosanna to the highest. Now in Luke chapter 23, verse 13, Pilate called together the chief priests and rulers of the people and said to them, You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he has sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him. And with one voice they cried out, Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us. Barabbas was one who had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, Crucify him. For the third time he spoke, Why? What crime has he committed? I found no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demands, and he released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. And a large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, Blessed are the barren women and the wombs that never bore. And you will say, Mountains fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? And two other men, both criminals, were led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place of the skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on one side and the other on the other. And Jesus said, cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Interesting. The crowd that was leading him into Jerusalem, shouting Hosanna. One week later, we don't know that it was the same crowd, but certainly some of the same crowd. We see the mood on Palm Sunday of praise and glorifying him, Hosanna, the hero. But a week later, we see crucify him and release Barabbas to us. And I guess what I want to ask you in regard to loyalty to Jesus, how are we representing Jesus? Are we praising him and crucifying him in the same week? There's a passage in the epistles. I don't have it here on the wall. I should have. There's a passage in the epistles that speaks that when we don't represent Jesus in the right way, we crucify him afresh. Paul the Apostle, through the Holy Spirit, spoke of that. Loyalty to Jesus. Where is your loyalty? It's rooted in your love for him. In 1 week's time, they went from praising him to crucifying him. I want to be faithful in hard times. I want to be the man that even who might flee in a moment of stress and run from apparent torture or trouble, remember Jesus. Oh, yes. Yes. I want God to be able to say, have you seen my servant, Tom? Have you seen my daughter, Peggy? Have you seen my son, Mike? Have you seen my daughter, Angie? Have you seen my son, George? I want to be trusted. There's so much we often say about trusting God. I want God to be able to trust me. We're not speaking in the flesh, for in the flesh, we would tend to run from the thought of something difficult as Peter did. But as the Spirit dwells within us, and as we spend our time with God and we're formed in that new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, behold, a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away and all things become new. Romans 12, 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind. As you spend your time with God and renewing your mind and become transformed and become his true son and daughter. A year and a half ago, we spent quite a bit of time talking about becoming sons and daughters. Several services, that was our theme. I want a son like Job who is truly serves God out of love with true loyalty. And I want to become that. How are you representing? Where is your loyalty? And I'm going to end with that. Got other things I could share, but it's enough. Where are you in your loyalty to the Lord? Some of us, I'm afraid, at times are praising him and then we're crucifying him. And boy, maybe it's in the same week. I want to be counted as loyal with a deep love and devotion for our Lord. Let's stand together for prayer. Kind of a heavy issue this morning. But we listen to the song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And I will love you in life. Here's the loyalty. And I'll love thee in death. And I'll praise you as long as you lend me breath. I want to be that caliber of disciple. And I'll even say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, I want to be able to sing this with sincerity from the heart. If ever I loved you, my Jesus is now a loyalty of pure love. Job passed the test. Could a man, and we're not all tested to that extent. Oh, we all have Job-like experiences, and we've all thought of Job at times, things we're going through. This was an unusual, the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job. Oldest book in the Bible, they believe. But it was a test of a man's loyalty. Isn't it interesting that in the oldest book of the Bible, the first account of Scripture, that's a test in the very first chapter of loyalty? Isn't that interesting? That shouts something. In the very oldest book of the Bible that we know of, the story of Job, the very first chapter, it's the test of loyalty. Do you serve him just because you love him alone? I'm going to dismiss us in prayer. And then Pam and I like to hang around. Sometimes I'm here at 2 o'clock talking to people. We do have somewhere we have to be in just a little bit, so we're going to get out a little soon, so we're not mad at anybody or anything. I do like to visit people, but we do need to leave quickly, so I'm going to lead us in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each one that's here. I'd ask that you would take these truths as I've attempted to share what I felt you gave me, and I ask that anything that was said in the flesh would be erased, and only those things that were anointed by your Spirit will stay in the memory, Lord, and use these truths, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.